Welcome to the Touring Car America Podcast. Where touring car racing comes to life. You'll get in-depth interviews with drivers, series officials, auto manufacturer reps, and unique personalities through SRO, America's Touring Car Division. This is the Touring Car America Podcast, and this is Joe Jordan.
This is the TC America Podcast 10 Questions, and I'm here with Michael Hirkson, and the car driver of car number 71 in the TCR series. So thank you for joining us, Michael. Question number one is, what was the first car you ever owned?
First car I ever owned was an Audi 4000 Quattro, 1986, had about 115 horsepower. It was a really fun car. It was a labor of love, you know, fixing it in the driveway, my parents' driveway, almost daily. But that's how I kind of got my start in, you know, doing some hill climb and autocross and ice racing with that car and just pitching it sideways and, you know, getting on the throttle and letting all-wheel drive pull you out.
So was the car in perfect condition when you got it?
The car was, so I had two. The first one was in really good condition. I bought it off a guy that used to autocross and hill climb with it, and I did the same with it, and then went to Monoscutney, had a tire go down, and lightly rolled that into some saplings. So I took all the good parts off of that car into a car I bought for $800, and that the second one was really nice. I had that one painted, did all the body work and all that.
And you built that in the driveway of your parents, which I'm sure they loved.
Yeah, they every single day I was out there fixing one thing or another.
Question number two, what do you want to be when you were growing up, when you were a kid?
Oh, so honestly, I mean, I started going to Lime Rock in the mid-80s. My family's from Poland, and when my grandfather and my uncle used to visit from Poland, you know, you take them sightseeing on for some of the local attractions. And Lime Rock on Memorial Day and, you know, throughout the summer was a local attraction for us. So we'd go there, and, you know, I still have fond memories of, you know, doing the – it was back when the Camel GT series, and they had all of the, you know, pick gun to the single lug pit challenge and all that up on the midway there. And so, you know, I've kind of been dreaming about doing this for a very long time.
It's funny, I'm a California person, but my father got transferred to New York City and I was born in New Jersey. So I grew up at the same place as you did, Lime Rock Park on Memorial Day weekend, but I'm a bit older, so probably 10, 15 years before you. And yeah, I have fond memories of those same things, swimming in the creek that's right there by the track, the Salmon Creek, I think it's called. And some of those same memories, so it's kind of amazing. Do you have any brothers and sisters? How many are there in your family?
I do. I have a younger brother, Andrew, and a younger sister, Sabrina.
So you're the oldest.
I'm the oldest of three, yeah.
Okay. And question number four, when you go to any restaurant, what's your go-to order?
Any restaurant. So I'm the guys always laugh at me back home at work. When we go to a restaurant, I find like a sandwich I really like. I just get that every single time. It's not like I'm eating it every day, but I always order the same sandwich and go off the menu. So
a chicken sandwich off the menu.
For me, it's, you know, now I'm going to be 40 in August, so I can't eat all the things that some of my younger coworkers can eat all the time. So,
and I'm not like him. So I have a very rounded physique, so I eat whatever, but he's being good about it. Cause he's still a race driver. So
that's right. So, yeah, I mean, for me, a good sandwich or a steak is always
the go-to, but it's off the menu. I like that. And they make fun of you about it. So there's another very famous podcast, since I think the only one that are going to listen to this podcast might be Michael's mom and my mom. I'm not sure, but a very famous podcast, the guy always says he gets a chicken sandwich when he's doing it. So that's why I brought up the chicken sandwich. So here you are, you've been running now a few years in racing, and I know you've been racing for probably 10 years or so, but what do you wish you knew when you started racing that you know now?
How to get money.
How to get money. That's been a theme.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, you know, the most important thing. If you know, people ask me, you know, what's the best way to get into racing? My answer is always the same. It's like, you know, I would highly recommend being rich, because that's definitely the best
way. Yeah, be born into a rich family is a good way to go.
And outside of that is, you know, I did my first track day in 1996. So, and it was a lot of HPDE. I moved up pretty quickly to instructing. I got the drive on the track for free, and I sat, you know, in the passenger seat for many, many years, and got a lot of laps that way. And for me, it's just finding, you know, there's a couple different ways. One is if you're doing it yourself, you know, finding a good car that's reliable so you can do it inexpensively. And the second way is volunteering for a race team and offering to, you know, scrape wheel weights off of tires, start at the bottom, you know, sweep the floors, whatever it may be, and try to learn the ropes that way, because there's a lot of etiquette that goes into racing, and the more you pick up on that, you know, the better suited you will be when you do get behind the wheel.
So either be born into a rich family, learn how to chase partners and sponsors, or start at the bottom and work your butt off and figure out a way through it. So again, you started in 1996. We're more than 20 years later and you're still at it, so that's yep. Good. Question number six is, what's something that you failed at?
So, you know, relevant to this, I mean, I failed at racing for a very long time. You know, one of my jokes around the office is the reason I think we're able to put together such a good program is because I found a lot of different ways of how not to do a program. And so I had a spell of club racing in 2004 was my first club race. And I spent a lot of money, was not really as prepared as I needed to be. The car wasn't as prepared. And I just learned a lot about, you know, the investment, time and money that it takes into going and running a proper program. You know, I didn't have a right tow vehicle, didn't have the right trailer, didn't have the right car. Everything kept breaking on me. And I spent a lot of time figuring out how not to do it. And, you know, now that I have the opportunity, it's, you know, going well so far.
So it's the act of doing it that's got you to where you are. You've learned from your own mistakes. And that's kind of what I'm trying to get at with that question, is that everybody fails. And that's how we all learn. Question number seven is, if you could choose a walk-up music like they do in baseball. So a baseball player goes up to the plate, they have walk-up music as their theme music. Yeah. What song would you pick?
Oh, boy. Man, I don't know.
We can come back to that. Everyone has a hard time when they ask that question.
So for me, I'm not, you know, I listen to like Pandora. Everyone else is like on Spotify and this. I don't follow music. I know kind of what I like, but it's usually when somebody else puts it on. I don't have like this massive playlist of music. I put something on, I'm like, I like that. And if I don't like it, I'll switch it.
Okay. So name a song that you like then. Is there a song that you like right now?
I'd have to look on it.
Miley Cyrus's Wrecking Ball, something like that.
There you go.
Is that going to be your welcome song?
You know what I like is whatever my kids are playing, because I get trumped now with the radio or anything.
Yeah, I
kids
understand
wanna listen
that.
To what they want to listen to, so whatever they're listening to is my favorite.
Okay, so you're going to let your kids pick up your walk-up music.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll live
that's
with
right.
that. That's fine. Number eight is, what do you do on a normal non-race weekend?
Outside of getting ready for the race weekend.
Yeah.
I travel a lot. I also commute 77 miles down to FCP Euro where I work. So I'm out of the home a lot. So on the weekends, I try my best. Doesn't always work that way, but try my best to be present with my family. I got 10-year-old twins, John and Bella. Both active, you know, sports and dancing and whatnot. So, you know, on a typical weekend, we have 4 to 6 events that we're chauffeuring them around to something, and have a dog Cooper at home. And that's kind of, you know, I don't really do much outside of travel for racing and try to be a good dad.
So you're the kid's Uber when you're around and you're not racing and being involved with it, with whatever they're involved with. And in turn, they pick up your walk up.
This is true. I also spend a lot of time apologizing to my wife for being away for school.
That's what most racing guys who are married do. They spend a lot of time doing that, that's for sure. Question number nine, what's your favorite book?
My favorite book. I mean, there's in the last, I'd say, maybe like 8 or 9 years, I've been reading a lot of business books. There's a lot of books that I can relate to. Trying to think of, so Leaders Eat Last by Simon Sinek is a really good one that I read last summer. Trying to think of,
and that works. I mean, I'm just, you know, just kind of get a feel for who you are, and that's great. And a lot of, I'm an avid reader, so I'm always trying to get some new things to read. So I'll put in the show notes, I will put the book that he recommends for anyone who wants to read something like that. Question number 10, when you're alone in your car, which may not happen that often, Do you sing along with the music?
I do sing along with the music, depending on the mood. So because my commute's so long, I spend a lot of time in the car. So I have podcasts that I listen to, I have books that I listen to, and then when I'm listening to music, I definitely sing along. The other thing that I'm been a kick on lately is putting on comedy on Pandora and just having different comedians go through. It kind of, when you're listening to comedy, kind of shuts your brain off. I use it to fall asleep sometimes because you can't really think of anything like legit. You're listening to, you know,
to something that make you laugh. Jokes, yeah, absolutely.
And kind of shut your brain off for a little bit.
That's good. I like that. So that was 10 questions for the TC America podcast with Mike Hirkson. Thank you so much for your time, Mike.
Thank you.
Corksport Performance is your Mazdaholic stop for performance parts. Since 1998, Corksport has been giving love to all the ignored Mazda models which everyone drives. 20 years later, Corksport is a leader in manufacturing a full range of performance parts for the Mazda Speed 3, the Mazda 3, the ND MX-5, and more. We have real people that will take your phone call. None of that email-only BS from online-only stores or a store being run out of their mom's basement in Detroit by a guy named Chuck. Corksport supports simple bolt-on mods, giving you guidance and advice to build your Mazda Speed 3 to over 600 horsepower and be a terror on the track.
This is where touring car racing comes to life. We're back. We're back to the Touring Car America podcast with Joe Jordan.
This is a TC America podcast. I'm Joe Jordan. I'm here today with Jim Jordan inside the series. Jim is the series manager for Touring Car America. So, Jim, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Joe. It's good to talk to you again. Been too long.
Yeah, it has been. Some exciting things going on. We just completed our last race, and one of the things I want to talk about is the Winter Series. The Winter Series is going to be a three-weekend format out at Thermal Country Club. Can you expound on that a little bit, Jim?
Yeah, so the Thermal Racetrack is a it's a private racetrack, kind of caters to the car enthusiasts in the LA Basin. Certainly, a lot of car people out here. So they built a private racetrack, similar in concept to Monticello or Autobahn, where they sell lots and they sell real estate and they have a just beautiful racetrack out there. Now, Thermal has run its own race. And in the past, the first couple races they ran were kind of certainly challenges because there wasn't a whole lot of organization to it. They since improved the organization and the races themselves got better, but they started talking to us a couple years ago about, can you come out and help us run a race series? And finally, for this winter, we finally decided this is we're going to do it. So starting on December 13th through the 15th, we're going to do our first of three weekend, six race series for basically all the SRO classes. So for 2020, that's GT2, GT3, GT4, and the three TC classes. They're each going to have their own run group, plus a class for Thermal members, because it is a member club. Or a member track. There are some people that don't want to necessarily run in our races, but want a chance to run the racetrack. So we're going to have a run group for them too, and we're just coming in and we're going to put on one of our weekends for these members.
And to be specific, all the touring car classes. So TCR, Touring Car, TCA. Touring Car Cup, they'll all run together in one group. Unless you get so many entries, you have to split them up. Not really likely to do that. So all the touring cars will run together. They won't run with GT3 or GT4 cars, or won't run with GT2 cars. Just the touring cars together.
Yeah, each of the groups, and again, the only one we're still not sure on is GT2 and GT3. Just depending on how many cars we get there, I suspect that GT2 and 3 may run together. But the touring car class will run separately. We'll put all three classes on the track at the same time. But again, not with anything else.
And we talked a little bit about the entry point to the series, so the Winter Series. I understand that you'll be able to get a 2020 license for SRO, and you'll be able to run with entry fees that are much less than normal SRO entry fees, kind of as a entry point, introductory point to people, and a scaled down version of what an SRO weekend is normally like.
Yeah, the entry fees are going to be significantly less, thinking that it's going to be about $1,500 for a TCR, TCR Cup car, about $1,000 for a TC car, and $750 or so for a TCA car. Again, trying to make it more attractive, and for that, you're going to get a ton of track time. You're going to have three 30-minute practice sessions, two 20-minute qualifying sessions, and two 40-minute races. So we're focused on track time. We're focused on proper tech, proper scrutineering, proper race officiating. So you get all the good stuff that you get from an SRO event, just a very high level professional weekend, but at the same time, a little bit lower key. So for a new team or a new driver, someone coming in for the first time, we're just trying to make it a lot more accessible. If you're a team that competed with us in 2019, at least for the first race in December, all those licenses and anything you need to do, you've already got it. So nothing new. If you're a new team coming in or starting with a January event, anything for December, if you're a new team, you're going to get your 2020 license and you're going to get everything you need to compete with us for the entire 2020 season.
And it's only been out for about, 10 days or so. What kind of feedback have you gotten from people out there?
Well, so far the feedback's been good. I mean, we're in full silly season right now, trying to figure out what everybody's doing for next year. But for the winter series in particular, I've gotten calls from existing teams that want to test or try out new drivers, take some drivers with less experience and give them wheel-to-wheel experience in the high level of competition that TC America provides. We also have some new teams that have run another series that kind of want to check us out and also get the licensing and all that done. So it's been a really good cross section of people interested. And again, there have been calls from new teams, existing teams, just kind of lots of interest overall. Entry forms should be going out today or tomorrow. So we'll start hopefully getting these entries in and really have an idea of how many cars we're going to get. I kind of aimed at what I thought was a realistic number, which was not huge. I was figuring 10 TC cars I could pretty easily get. My objective from my bosses is 15. So as usual, they bumped me 50%. But again, I'm getting enough calls and interest that I think that's definitely doable. And again, the amount of track time you get may surprise me a little bit.
Yeah, I think the response that I've gotten, because I tend to field questions from people that don't really know this series that well, but I've been getting a lot of questions as well and comments and thoughts. And I think it's been very, very positive. And I think it's a great way for someone who doesn't really know the SRO to give it a shot, give it a try. I think most people, when they try it, they like it. So I think it's a great opportunity to do that. I know it's called the Invitational, and it's partially Invitational because it is at Thermal, a private track. But maybe explain a little bit about what Invitational means.
Yeah, the biggest thing with the invite is just making sure you have a car that meets SRO rules. So as long as you have a car that fits in our classes, you're basically invited. It's just we do have the filter of if it doesn't fit, then you're not invited. So it's not like a typical club race where if you have a car, we'll make room for it. We're not going to do that. The whole point is to try to encourage people to acquire cars for our rule set. And if you have that kind of car, then we absolutely positively want you to come out. And the other great thing about the winter series is the key personnel you're going to deal with in the main series are all going to be there at the winter series. So you could start building those relationships, knowing who does what, get a lot of your questions answered moving forward. So in essence, a lot of sports have off-season leagues, whether it's basketball, basketball, baseball, whatever. And this is our first attempt to do the same thing. So in some ways, it's a development league, a development series where we could all just develop new teams, new personnel, and the rest. And again, just kind of an exciting concept that I'm really glad we're trying.
And it also, we've talked a little bit about people that invest in, say, new touring cars or new TCA cars and go run the winter series. I want to talk a little bit about what was announced at the gala in Las Vegas, where there's an announcement that the SRO is going to be taking touring car, which is a touring car class, Touring Car America TC class, and Touring Car America TCA class, to other markets.
Yeah, very exciting for me. Again, like anything, it's a group of people who have put this together. Got to give a lot of credit to Greg Gill and Marcus Hasselgrove for the commitment that they've made and worked hard to make the series and to embrace TC. Certainly when I got involved three and a half years ago now, it's been my main focus is building a robust TC class. And again, the folks internally have all helped do that. So when SRO took over, majority interest of the series, they looked at Touring Car and saw an opportunity to take it to their other markets because the SRO is running racing series all over the world. So,
and I would like to remind people that the whole GT3 class was started by SRO. The GT4 class was started by SRO, meaning they put the rule sets together to start those classes. And now other series and other organizations use them worldwide, but SRO uses it worldwide as well.
Yeah, the beauty of these SRO and standardized rule sets worldwide is that you build a market worldwide. So you could have a car in the U.S. that's eligible to run in the rest of the world as long as it fits within the SRO rule set. And the SRO rules have almost de facto been the standard rules for most of the GT series worldwide. I mean, from Japan to Australia to most of Europe, Asia, they use the SRO rules. GT3 is now controlled by the FIA, not the SRO anymore, but that was created initially by the SRO, and the GT4 series and all those series worldwide running the GT4 rules are all just exploding. So when the SRO saw what we were getting done in the growing fields of touring cars in the U.S., they decided that that's the sort of rule set that could work worldwide. And yeah, that, I mean, just really excited to hear that announcement. I, of course, had a pretty strong clue that it was coming. Didn't know exactly when they were going to announce, but to have Stefan Rattel announce it at the gala was just fantastic. And again, for 2021, basically the rules, the BOP, everything we're doing here in the U.S., we're going to take to the world.
It's very exciting. So someone wants to invest in a TC touring car or TCA car, you know, you can run it worldwide. And, you know, you can establish relationships with various people around the world. You can share cars. You can do it. Opens up a ton of opportunities. And it's very exciting. And, you know, the amount of interest from the manufacturers, like the new Hyundai coming into TCA, and also the new Hyundai and touring car from Gen Racer. You've got the Honda Civic Si that's done well this year. The Mini Cooper, you know, Subaru BRZs, all those, and the BMW M240i Cup cars. All those cars are available to anyone to purchase, and now they can, you know, in a year, they'll be able to run them worldwide, and that's really something amazing.
That's kind of the whole point of the SRO rules, is to make a worldwide market for these cars. As cars come in and out of favor, there's always a place to run them worldwide. And that just helps resale value. And again, the closer you can have to keeping to homologated rule sets, the easier it makes it for people competing to know you're competing on a fair playing field, that no one's going to outspend you. Your car has as much of any other car a chance to win. There are no trick parts. There's no tricks of the week, at least as far as investing in parts. So the people that win are the people that spend the most time making sure they exact everything out of the car and also everything out of the driver.
Yeah, and at any rate, it's just great to see the growth in touring car. You know how much I love touring car. Everyone teases me because I get excited when I get to call the touring car races. And that's all I want to talk about is touring car, very touring car centric. I enjoy the other parts of it, but I'm really about touring car. So I love to see the growth, and I love to see the interest from the manufacturers, and I love to see more teams getting involved. And right now, there isn't, there's the Global MX 5 Cup, which is a great series, and that's an entry-level series. And then there's TCA. There really isn't any other choices. And other sanctioning bodies, the entry point at a pro level is TCR, which is a $150,000 car. So
And I think that's absolutely the opportunity that the SRO folks in Europe see, is just the price point of the cars, and the TC cars, TCA and TC cars are just more affordable than anything else. And we're having to keep it that way too. And it's a constant battle. You bring up the Mazda Global MX-5 Cup, great car, great series, and kind of fun. We had a 14, then turn 15-year-old and win our TCA championship on one of those cars. Those folks have decided that they want to move to a sequential gearbox in that car for the Pro Series. They contacted us, and we basically told them no, because now all of a sudden they're getting away from the spirit that we want the TCR cars to be. So
if the TCA cars.
TCA, yeah, sorry. If you have a Global MX-5 Cup car, you're welcome to run in our series. We would love to have you run in the series, but you're going to have to do it with the standard H-style gearbox, because when you put in the sequential, it just, in our opinion, violates the spirit and also the price cap of the car, because the cost with a sequential car is getting pretty close to what TC cars cost. So again, we're going to be, one of our jobs is to say no to the manufacturers, which we do, to maintain the integrity of our series. And again, that's kind of the reputation that the SRO has worldwide. And you look at the evolution of GT3, when the SRO managed GT3, we managed to keep the price point and the drivability of the car at a different level than it currently is. And now we've created the GT2 class to, in some sense, recreate what GT3 used to be, which was high performance, but a car that a gentleman driver can drive effectively. GT4 is absolutely that way. And I guess the big delineation is aero. So the more aerodynamic dependent your car is, the harder it is for someone who's not a full-time professional racer to drive, because so much of the high speed stuff with aero, you really need to depend on it. And if you didn't grow up in it, it's really hard to drive. So I know I'm digressing a little bit, so we'll get back to TC.
It's still interesting to hear, and I'm very touring car centric. We talked about it. But I think it's an important thing to talk about the history of GT3 and why GT2 is now with us. And those things are really important to hear. So I'm glad that you talked about that and discussed that. And the other thing is, in GT4 right now, about half the field is former touring car teams and drivers. So it's a natural progression. Some of the guys started in TCB or TCA and have worked their way all the way up to GT4 and GT3 cars. So it's a very nice ladder system that the series offers, and it allows the teams to grow and the drivers to grow kind of simultaneously. And, we have very robust GT4 fields in 2019, but again, half of them are from touring cars. So I'm very proud of that.
I am too, but one of the things that Greg Gill has challenged me with, and Greg Gill, if you don't know, is the CEO of SRO America. He wants to make sure that we're working hard to make sure that all TC is regarded as a destination also. We love the fact that, again, people move to GT4 out of TC. That's fantastic. But TC America needs to also be a destination so someone can, at least in the TC class, make a career there. TCA, we look as an entry level, and currently discussing with Marcus and the comp guys of how to encourage young drivers to come in and people that have had success in other pro series. We don't want them out of the series. We kind of like it because it helps the young drivers grow. But we're thinking about what we can do to those guys to put them in a position where they're competitive and can win races but not dominate. So that's just one of the things, whether it's a rewards weight sort of thing or compensation weight. Or again, none of this is determined, but we want to give new drivers a shot to run with the experienced veterans and make it a good place for both. And again, I'm talking TCA much more than TC. TC, I think we've got a great format. I think we have several new carts coming in for next year. And again, in the TC America needs to be a destination as well as a stepping stone. So it needs to accomplish both.
Yeah, and in Touring Car, I know of three new brands that are coming or close, and have either tested cars or on their way to testing cars. So that's great growth in Touring Car as well as TCA. And I get kind of caught up sometimes as at the entry level, but Touring Car is such a great class, such a great series. So anyway, I don't want to lose sight of that Touring Car is going to have more manufacturers and more teams involved next year.
And I think the manufacturers that we have a mixture of both private teams, which have been designated by the manufacturers. So part of our process is if you want to bring a new car into the SRO TC America, no matter which class, we have to have and work with the manufacturer to designate a team if the factory's not doing it themselves. So Hyundai is a classic and a very good example. In the TCR world, they have a Hyundai TCR car, comes out of Germany, just a fantastic car. And that's who Hyundai Motorsports works with. In TCA, you've got Brian Herta Racing, who Hyundai designated as their TCA provider. They're going to build the cars, service the cars. And then in TC, we have Gen Racer. So Jeff Rica's group, he's built and developed the car, and they own the homologation. So that's a classic example of how it works. And Mazda is going to be somewhat the same way. Long Road Racing, at least in North America, handle both the TCA and the TCR level car. But Derek Ambrose from Cork Sport, he's going to be building and developing the TC car. And again, from day one, we made sure that that was something that Mazda Motorsports, you know, agreed to, because we do this to protect everybody. We're trying to protect the teams who invest in these cars. We're also trying to protect the manufacturer to make sure that they want that car competing. And we're also protecting the other teams, because if you have some sort of renegade team coming in with some car that's not getting any support from the manufacturer, that really doesn't benefit anybody long term. It may benefit that one team short term, but long term doesn't really benefit anybody.
And Jim, I think the renegade thing is funny, because I've been known to be that renegade once in a while. So when I go and run a series or do things, because I see an opportunity, but it is smart to not have that in the series and to protect. You always have to protect the manufacturers and the teams and the constructors, protect them from themselves in a way. And I think your strategy is a good one. And I do like that guys like Gen Racer and, you know, Tech Sports now doing the Scions, right? And LA, so not Scions, Subaru BRZs. I'm very sorry, Tech Sport. They're doing the Subaru BRZs. So if you want to run a Subaru BRZ, you got to work through tech support for the homologation. And then is it LAP that's doing the minis now?
Yeah, that's correct. LAP is doing the minis. And again, they're for sales. You could buy one. Kevin Anderson has a really good homologation for the Subaru. So these cars are available. And depending on the manufacturer, you could do it as a kit form or as a fully built race car. But knowing that every car has basically the same major components, that allows us confidence that no matter the brand, you'll be competitive. And again, there's certain tracks, some cars will do better than others. But you know, you looked at the last couple of races, and we've had different winners every day. And any of the four big brands in TCA has been there, competitive and able to win. And in TC, whether it's Nissan, Hyundai, or BMW, the dominant car with most wins, but Hyundai and Nissan, both at various tracks, were the car to beat. So that's what homologation does for your racing. It means that you have multiple cars capable of winning. Sadly, if you have an advantage, it doesn't last too long. But again, you got to look at the long term and have as many makes competitive as possible.
Yeah. And we've kind of run a little long, so I'm not going to go too much more into it, but I appreciate your time. And I'm excited about the Winter Series. I'm excited about the growth of Touring Car into other markets. I think it's a great time to be a Touring Car team, a Touring Car America competitor, and Touring Car America podcaster. I'm really excited to be able to talk about all these different things that are going on. And I do believe, Greg Gill mentioned the destination. It is, the series has been going on for 30 years. And for a lot of people, Touring Car is the destination. It will always be. And even those guys who go run GT4, a lot of them say they'd like to run Touring Car as well. It's just one of those things that opportunities come up, so they take it. But anyway, Jim, really appreciate your time. Excited for the future. Looking forward to the Winter Series. And if anyone wants to get involved in the Winter Series, they just need to email you.
Yeah, that's correct. That was one thing I was about to add. If you want an invite for the Winter Series and you have an SRO TC America eligible car, send me an email at jimjordan, J-O-R-D-A-N, at sro-motorsports.com. And we'll get you all set up and make sure you have an invite and start working you through the process. And we'll just see you December 13th through 15th at Thermal.
Thanks, Jim. That's Inside the Series with Jim Jordan at the TC America podcast. Want to save money modifying your Mazda? Yeah, we thought you might like that. And now, thanks to the TC America podcast, you can save 10% off your next purchase with Corksport. Corksport offers a full range of performance engine, handling, and styling parts for the Mazda 3, Mazda 6, Mazda Speed 3, MX-5, and more. So how do you get the 10% off from your favorite podcast, you ask? It's easy to do. Get your favorite parts on corksport.com and enter the promo code TCAmerica19, all in capitals, and the magic happens. You save 10%. This offer expires October 1st, 2019, so don't wait long to save. Love, Corksport.
This is where touring car racing comes to life. We're back. We're back to the Touring Car America podcast with Joe Jordan.
This is the TC America podcast, and I'm Joe Jordan. I'm here today with Jonathan Newcomb. I met Jonathan at the runoffs this year, and he just announced a couple days ago, maybe even yesterday, Jonathan, that you're going to be entering the TC America series. So, Jonathan Newcomb, without further ado, welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you again for having me on.
So, one of the reasons why I wanted you on is I met you a little bit. I've talked to you a few times. We don't know each other all that well, but we know each other enough. You were at Las Vegas working with the VGMC team with Victor Gonzalez and his group of people. And I knew you had big interest in doing a TCA car. You've got some racing background.
let's talk about your racing background first, and then we'll get into you know, why you chose TCA and TC America. So you, I understand that your dad raced. So talk about that. What part of the country are you guys from?
Originally from Florida, and my dad was military, so we traveled a lot all over, down in the southeast and the east coast, Germany, and then we ended up in Colorado ultimately. And as of like a year ago, my wife and I came back out to Florida again, and then my parents actually just moved out here about 3 months ago, so it's like we're going back to our roots.
Yeah. And now he raced in SCCA and ran the runoffs and things back in the day?
He didn't do runoffs. He just did regional races. He never did any majors or anything like that. But it was enough to get me interested. He did a lot of time trial, hill climb type stuff. He did a lot of autocrossing. Anytime he could get in a car on his own budget, on his own dime, he would. And that's kind of how I was brought up in racing.
And what kind of cars did he run?
You know, he had a an old MG Midget that was fully race prepared. I think an FP car or something like that. He had that. He had a Porsche 911. And let's see, what other cars did he have? He had a Toyota MR2, which actually I spoke to you another time, and we talked about an MR2 was my first car. It was actually his car that he gave to me and became my car. So, lots of sports cars in the family.
Gotcha. So did you first start autocrossing, or where did you start racing yourself?
I did. He wanted me in a controlled environment, you know, autocrossing, where I couldn't hurt anybody or hurt myself. And so I actually started in my Toyota MR2. And then he let me start racing his Porsche. And so from there, I just became really good at autocrossing, I guess, and drove a lot of other people's cars that were interested in me driving their cars to see what their cars could do. And they felt like I could push their cars at a max. So, yeah, started off with autocrossing and then just kind of got into time trials, kind of took his path for a while. Time trials, hill climbs. I did the Pikes Peak hill climb multiple years, all the way up until last year. Actually, I did not do it, but the Pikes Peak hill climb, did global time attack races, and then in between all of that, got my license for road racing and my competition license, and started racing a little with NASA and SCCA, and then here I am today.
And you ran like T4 and SCCA and NASA. You ran one of the ST type classes, something like that, or PT class, something like that. Okay.
Exactly. Yep. The TT4 and then a T4 class or whatever, yeah.
And when you did Pikes Peak, did you ever get to do it when it was dirt towards the top, where it was like half paved, half dirt? Or did you do it when it was all paved? Yeah.
I did it when it was 100% paved. I've never been a dirt racer. I have terrible allergies, and that's actually the reason why, because the dirt will just throw my allergies off. But, you know, my dad, when we moved to Colorado, he showed me Pikes Peak as a dirt race, and I was like, I'm going to race this one day. And he's like, yeah, sure, whatever, you know, as a 14-year-old, you know, whatever. And when it got paved, and I had already had experience doing, you know, paved races, I'm like, this is what I want to do. And so I applied, and I got in, and that was a fun race too. Scary but fun.
Yeah, and a lot of us have seen it and I've never attended or anything like that. It looks scary, but it looks like it's an unbelievable event. So having you spent a lot of time in Colorado, I imagine it was a big deal to be able to run that for the first time.
Well, it was too, and that was probably the first big race that I ever did, because it's an international race. It was there in Colorado where we lived, so, you know, the hype and everything around it was huge. And then, so for me to be accepted and race that was an honor, honestly, to do that. And just to be amongst all the other professionals that do that race was, it was humbling to know that I could compete at a high level against other professionals that I've always looked up to.
Right.
And, so it's a super scary race because of the consequences. There's no forgiveness on that mountain, but it was super exciting as well to be amongst all those people.
Yeah, if you're a car or a racing person, I'm sure you've seen some YouTube stuff from Pikes Peak when people literally tumble thousands of feet down a hill in a car. It's got to be terrifying. One of those things where you just don't look where you can end up and just kind of treat it with respect and go for it. But that's an event that I hope I can do someday as well. So I think that's awesome that you did that. So let's talk about what led you to Touring Car America and TCA. I mean, I know you're with Victor, but like, how did you even find Victor? How did you find the series? Give us some background on that.
Just interesting how paths cross and intertwine, and you never know how it happens. So I have wanted to race Rally World Challenge for a long time, and then in a couple attempts to get on teams and failed, I kept just saying, no, I'm going to do this. I kept reaching out to teams, doing testing here and there. Eventually, through a mutual friend years ago that I met, he kind of knew Victor. He said, hey, I don't know if you're interested. You know, Victor just started up a new team. He might be looking for drivers. I'm not sure. He might want to hit him up. And I called Victor, and so we started talking, and he said, well, what kind of experience do you have? You know, I don't want somebody on the team that's, you know, doesn't know what they're doing. We're trying to build a good program here. And so we just started talking and met with him. And so that's kind of that connection, is just kind of through a weird path of another person. He kind of connected us, and it's all working out to where now I'm going to be racing with VGMC, a Honda Civic Si and TCA for Victor. And we'll be alongside some other cars. He is bringing a few other cars and drivers to the team. Not really at pleasure to talk about all of them right now, so I'll just leave it up to him, and you guys have to watch for him. But so that was that connection. And then just getting into TC America kind of goes back to my interest in World Challenge and TC America. It was just, it's a good platform, it's a good series. I feel like it's real competitive, but it's also just an entry level series with TCA, at least for me to get into this type of racing. So that's kind of what was my interest. You know, again, as long as the series has been alive, I wanted to race in the series. So this is a dream come true to be racing now this next season for a team that's going to be in the series.
Yeah, that's cool. And one thing I wanted to talk about is, you know, entry level sports car racing and sedans, especially. It seems like there's tons of places to go with formula cars when you're just starting out in professional racing, but there isn't that many choices anymore for someone who wants to run a sedan. So, so it's TCA is a great place to go. You chose the Civic Si as a platform. Part of that, I'm sure, is because of VGMC's Honda affiliation. But did you have any thought on what car to choose? There's so many. You know, TCA is really growing. You have all sorts of different vehicles that you can purchase directly from the manufacturer, or you can build some. So what went into the decision on choosing the Honda Civic Si as the car to run?
That was another decision that brought together the previous gentleman brought me to Victor and VGMT was, I have raced a large number of front-wheel drive platforms, and, you know, him knowing that Victor and his Honda HPD affiliation was going to be racing Civics, and said, hey, this would be a good fit for you because you race Civics. You're really good at racing Civics. And, you know, it's not like I'm going to jump into from a front-wheel drive to a rear-wheel drive car, even though I can. I've done it for a number of years. I just felt like it was a good fit for me to continue racing Honda Civics. I've been racing a Honda Civic the last few years. My Pikes Peak Hill Climb car is actually a Hyundai Tiburon, which is a front-wheel drive car. And so I know how to handle. I like the way I can manipulate the cars to do what I want to do. And so the Honda Civic was just a great platform for me. Also, just knowing the car and the Honda in general is just a good company, a good platform, nice backing from Honda. So all of that accumulation was just a perfect fit for me. The Honda, you get a lot for what you put in, and they last long. So I like it.
Cool. Yeah, they've got a very good program, and Victor's program is small and growing, and I'm excited to see that you're stepping on board. I know they have another young driver from Guatemala. I've been lucky enough where my son raced down in Guatemala last year, so I know what Guatemala racing's all about. There's tons of enthusiasm down there for all types of racing, but it'll be fun to have someone from Guatemala running in our series next year. I'm not sure if you heard, there's a couple interesting things going on, but they're going to take TCA and touring car classes worldwide within SRO. And I'm not sure if you heard that or not, but wanted to get your opinion on that. What do you think about that?
I think it's amazing. I think I think I'm coming in at the right timing because this is all the things that I want to do. And, you know, Victor has a big interest in doing that as well. So, you know, going globally with this is obviously kind of another dream of mine, is not just to do it nationally, but to go do it in other countries. So I think it's great. SRO as an organization is very well prepared for this, you know, upcoming global racing. So I just can't wait to be a part of it. You know, I'm excited to be a part of it as well.
Yeah, I think what they learned this year with touring car, you know, this is the first year SRO has owned the World Challenge Series here in the U.S. They've run, you know, they're basically the people who started GT3 racing and GT4 racing, the ones who came up with the rules and all that information, have the background with the manufacturers and with teams and that kind of thing. But this is their first year ever participating with touring car. And what I believe, and this is me conjecturing, but what I believe that they've learned is that in GT4, if you look through the GT4 field that we have in the U.S. and the SRO Pirelli GT4 series, about half of them all came from touring car. So, you know, there's kind of a built-in ladder system for drivers all the way from, TCA to TC, TCR, and then on to GT4 and GT3. And there's several factory drivers that started in our touring car classes. So they see that as a way to grow their babies, which are GT4 and GT3, but realize they have to produce people from the lower levels to kind of get to where they want them to be. And I know that some of the people who have come over from Europe to watch our series from the SRO organization are really surprised at how professional the TC teams are, the, you know, TC American teams are, and they see it as a real opportunity to grow the sport. So yeah, I'm really excited. I know my brother Jim, who runs the Touring Car America series manager, he's very excited and very encouraged by that growth. It'd be great for you to take your Honda Civic Si anywhere in the world and race it, or go drive an identical car to what you have here, because maybe a lot of times that'll be more cost effective. But so it's exciting to see that growth.
Well, I'm glad you hit on that point too, because that was some of my enthusiasm, was to to start here with TCA and be able to move up into the TC and TCR cars eventually. You know, that is the hopes that I could do something like that. You know, obviously I'm grounded right now and I'm okay being in a TCA car, but you know, everybody wants to move up, and if I'm good enough, which I hope I am, you know, I'd love to jump into a TC car, a TCR car, and possibly do some other racing like that too.
Yeah, no, it makes total sense, and that's where a lot of people have gone. I mean, Michael Cooper is probably one of the biggest names. That he's a McLaren factory driver now that started running a touring car, worked his way up to GTS, which is what GT4 is. He won a GT4 touring car championship. He won a GT4 GTS championship. He won a GT3 championship with the Cadillacs, and now he's in the McLarens. So it can be done. And, yeah, maybe this is just your first step to realizing the rest of your dream. Some other opportunities I'd like to talk about, and you probably know this, and you're in the East, so you probably won't participate, but we do have a winter series that just got announced. So all the touring car, so TCR, TCA, and touring car and TCR Cup are all eligible to run in our winter series, which is all at the Thermal Motorsports Park. It's a country club kind of track just outside of Palm Springs. So there's going to be one weekend a month, one in December, one in January, one in February. So there's going to be two races each weekend. So a 6-race winter series. It's going to be, you know, like a smaller version of what we do on a normal SRO weekend. And entry fees and all that kind of stuff are going to be much less. But it's designed to let people kind of get their feet wet with us so they understand what it's like to go through a professional weekend. And, you know, we'll have the same tech. We'll have, you know, some of the same people. So come check it out. You can go to the TC America website and get more information there, or you can, and I think it says to call my brother for more information, but at any rate, you can also email me at joe@tcamericapodcast.com for any questions on the series or on the winter series or whatever. So, you talked a little bit about your future and what you hope to do and how you want it to grow. So is that the long range view? Is you'd like to do well in TCA and use that to move up to different classes and broaden your experience?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, like I said, it's more my entry level TCA. I'm used to driving a lot more high-powered cars, you know, I'd love to move up and get into a little bit more of a high-powered car, and just, like you said, just move up through the rankings, go through TCA and get up into possibly a TCR car, GT3 car, you know, later on. But I've always learned through my years of all kinds of stuff that I've done that is baby steps, and I'm trying to take the baby steps to see where it leads, and hopefully those baby steps take big steps later on to get to where I want to be.
I think that's the right philosophy, Jonathan. Do you have any partners you want to talk about before we sign off? Is there anyone you want to thank or talk about? And I just want to say it's been fun to know you just a short time. I can see your enthusiasm already just by being around you for a couple weekends. So it's great to have you in this series. But if you want to talk about some of your partners before we sign off, please go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't have partners right now. If there's any partners listening that want to give me a shout out, go ahead. I'm interested. But yeah, we're looking right now. We're checking into a couple. I have a few organizations that are I'm talking with, but right now nobody. But soon enough, we will have a few people on board with us.
That's great. And Jonathan, I look forward to seeing more of you over the winter, maybe, and definitely at that first race at COTA. So wish you good luck, and I appreciate the time that you've taken to come talk to us today at the TC America podcast.
Awesome. Thank you.
Take care. Want to save money modifying your Mazda? Yeah, we thought you might like that. And now, thanks to the TC America podcast, you can save 10% off your next purchase with Corksport. Corksport offers a full range of performance engine, handling, and styling parts for the Mazda 3, Mazda 6, Mazda Speed 3, MX-5, and more. So how do you get the 10% off from your favorite podcast, US? It's easy to do. Get your favorite parts on corksport.com and enter the promo code TCAmerica19, all in capitals, and the magic happens. You save 10%. This offer expires October 1st, 2019, so don't wait long to save. Love, Corksport.
Thanks for listening to the Touring Car America podcast, where touring car racing comes to life. Please like, comment, and subscribe to the show. And for more series information, go to the series website at tcamerica.us.